Almost one quarter. That, according to the Massachusetts Restaurant Association, is the number of restaurants and eateries that have closed permanently due to the economic impact of the pandemic. It seems like every couple days, a new location says it's closing. This week, it's Kinsale, the Asgard, and the Stoddard so far. For the restaurants that have reopened, a new challenge, how to stay in business, keep staff safe, keep patrons safe when winter hits. Well, joining us now are two restaurateurs, I have trouble saying that word, two restaurant owners who are now facing exactly these tough decisions. Heather Mosier is the co-owner of State Park, Mamala's Deli, and Café du Pay, all in Cambridge. Heather, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Irene Lee, owner and head chef of the Maymay Restaurant Group in Boston. Irene, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join this conversation. Pull up a chair. Have you lost a favorite local eatery? Have you returned to indoor dining? Are you going to do that? Do you have concerns about the winter? And what place are you worried about and want to help keep open? We also would love to hear from you if you're listening and you're a local restaurant owner. What's going on for you? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Heather and Irene, I just want to start by checking in with you. Heather, wow, it has been a rough several months for everyone. How are you holding up?
It's okay. We've got the three different restaurants, and they each are on their own path. So we, you know, can get distracted by the winds of the high holidays at Mamala's, for example. That was an extremely busy time for the deli. Over at Café du Pay, we have pivoted the concept to a corner grocery called Vincent's, and that's been going since the springtime, offering grocery items and takeout food, cocktails, wine, and beer to the neighborhood and the folks who work around the Kendall area. And State Park opened later in August, and that's mostly on-premise dining on our big patio that was just recently renovated. So all three restaurants definitely are keeping us busy, but overall, it's a slower pace of business. And personally, I have an 11-month-old baby, so he's able to actually come to work with me, which I probably actually definitely wouldn't have been able to do if we were operating at full speed. That wouldn't be appropriate. But now at this lower, slower pace, I got my baby with me, or if he's not with me, he's with my husband over at Vincent's.
Well, first, Heather, congratulations on the new baby. That's fabulous. Irene, how are you doing personally?
Oh, boy. Well, I think on average, I'm hanging in there. There are good days and bad days, and things at Maymay have been changing rapidly and nonstop over the last couple months.
And how are you processing as a business owner, a community member, a neighbor, a family member? How are you just sort of putting one foot in front of the other? We get such interesting answers from the people that we speak with across all kinds of professions and worlds just because we're in such an unusual time.
Yeah, I think the challenge of this time for me and maybe for other folks is that we do really try to put our heads down and kind of grind it out. I think in the restaurant industry, we are accustomed to being able to throw more hours at a problem and thereby solve it. And we're in a position now where more work and more stress is not necessarily going to get us any farther. I think that for me, you know, the announcement we made regarding Maymay last week was really about letting go of the idea of Maymay as it used to be, as a restaurant in a traditional sense, and saying, you know, Maymay is going to live on, but it's going to look different, and it's probably not a restaurant anymore.
Heather, what is your reaction to hearing Irene say that about her restaurant, about Maymay?
I think that it makes total sense, and I think we're going to see that from other concepts, too. We've been toying with the idea of closing the dining room permanently at Mamala's. We are finding a stride with the type of service that we're doing over there. And even with our location at Time Out Market, it's kind of along those lines where we operate a kitchen and some counter service, but it kind of stops there. And so I don't know if this will proliferate more restaurants taking the fast casual or quick service route, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Irene, I read your announcement last week and I listened to you talk about it just here. You are being very professional, very matter of fact about it. How hard was that decision to make?
Well, in a lot of ways, it was gut-wrenching. But in other ways, it is kind of the logical conclusion of this path that we've been on. I don't think that makes it any easier emotionally. But since the beginning of the pandemic, we have said at Maymay that we're not going back to any kind of on-site dining until there's a vaccine. And so while there's been, for me, like a coming to terms process, in a way, I think it is exactly kind of what we committed to in the first place in terms of, you know, what lines we felt we weren't going to be able to cross.
I want to grab a call here, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Cheryl is on the line from Roxbury. Cheryl, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Strotter. I own Soleil Restaurant. And like many of my colleagues who are restaurant owners, this is a challenging time. And we also had to make a pivot as far as our dine-in is concerned. We are in the headquarters of the Boston School Department, and with so many administrators working from home, our revenue has declined. So what we are doing is leaning more on the takeout concept and family meals so folks can come in, buy in bulk, and take it back home. Because the dine-in that we are so accustomed to and so enjoyed for years has changed tremendously, and it's going to be this way for quite some time.
Thank you for that call, Cheryl. Heather, let me give you a chance to react to Cheryl there.
I think she's right. It seems like we know that restaurants are risky behavior. Indoor dining in restaurants is a risky behavior. And so to pivot with family meals, like she said, and other sorts of takeout or even packaged goods for a sale at a farmer's market or collaborations with other local businesses for pickup and drop-off sites, it's kind of a bright spot in this really difficult time, all the new ideas that are coming from it.
You know, one of the things that was intriguing in talking to both of you is your feelings about the safety of in-restaurant dining, in-person dining, kind of regardless of where the state is on allowing it. You both, you know, have expressed reservations about that. You know, and it raises questions about responsibilities of patrons, responsibilities of the state, responsibilities of the restaurant industry. Do you feel disproportionately burdened in having to make these pivoting decisions for your businesses when the state is in a different place on it? Irene, maybe you can go first.
Yeah, I think what's hardest for me, not just as a restaurant owner, but also as a diner and someone who really loves restaurants, is that there's not consistent guidance. And so restaurant owners are in the position of trying to decide what is safest for us and for our teams and for our broader community. And, you know, both my parents were doctors, but I'm not an epidemiologist. And so I think one of the things that has been frustrating is the lack of leadership at so many levels. And also we understand that diners are getting really mixed messages about what's okay and about what they should do and about how they can save the restaurant industry. And frankly, at this point, you know, I think that only the bailout is going to save our industry, or at least the parts of it that are small and independent that diners like me love the most. And so I certainly have a lot of feelings about that.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Irene. I mean, in this segment before we joined the two of you, we were, you know, playing the conversation I had earlier today with House Ways and Means Chair Richard Neal, talking about the fact that the president has ceased all negotiations on another coronavirus package. You know, as a business owner who was looking forward to that, Heather, you know, how does that news make you feel? And how heavily were you planning on, you know, on the federal government providing that money to be able to keep putting one foot in front of the other?
We've been pamphleting our takeout bags pretty heavily, and talking with our customers one-on-one when they come to the window and ask how they can help. We have been sharing the Independent Restaurant Coalition's work to petition their representatives about this. And so when the Restaurants Act was included in the Heroes Act, we were thrilled because we were pretty certain that that was one of the only ways that we were going to make it through, that and help from landlords. And I think that's probably the deal for most restaurants, is it's a little bit from the landlord and a little bit from the federal government. So it was really disappointing. Yeah.
I want to grab a call on this. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What's the restaurant you're most anxious about in your community? If you're a restaurateur, what changes have you had to make? We've got Eric on the line from Jamaica Plain. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I guess my, it's more of a comment, but looking toward the future, you know, I'm just kind of concerned about what the restaurant and food landscape looks like in Boston and around the country. It just feels like the chains are going to be able to prevail through this because they have the most money. And it just seems like it's just going to homogenize the food landscape. You know, just every place you go in the United States, just having the same food. And, you know, that's kind of concerning for me. I really hope that, you know, we can preserve sort of our restaurants and our food culture in Boston. It's more of a comment, so.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate that. Yeah, and let's turn to both Heather and Irene about that. Talk about what's happening to use Eric's words, our food culture in Boston during this pandemic, and what the tail of that is going to look like, you know, when we finally do, for example, have a vaccine. How are you thinking about that, either of you?
Go ahead, Heather. I think in the short term, I think Eric's absolutely right. I think chains are going to win out over independent restaurants because they have the bargaining power to come up with better deals with landlords, or, you know, they just have more money to throw at a pivot compared to an independent restaurant. I think it's going to proliferate quick serve restaurants, which isn't a bad thing, but I think it's going to just be a better climate for chains like Chipotle, for instance. I think that's more of a short-term issue. I think long-term, we might actually see a shakeup that allows for a more sustainable rent climate for small businesses, you know, maybe within the next 5 years, unless, of course, those chains have taken up all the real estate. But it could be an opportunity for small businesses to get in at a different type of lease agreement.
Irene, how big is rent in this picture? And of course, I welcome you to build on anything else Heather said as well. But the rent thing really struck me.
Yes. Well, for us, rent has been tremendous. We've been in active negotiations with our landlord, but so far we have been on the hook for our full rent. I think that, you know, to Eric's question, or his comment rather, certainly, we should be looking not just at which restaurants are closing, but what restaurants are opening in their places. We should be looking at who's developing property and what kind of businesses they're opening on them. I think Heather puts forth an optimistic picture that I very much believe in as well. Many, you know, immigrant-owned restaurants, more neighborhood restaurants that, you know, you're not seeing on social media, maybe they haven't been able to access PPP funds. If they relied on takeout and delivery primarily prior to the pandemic, like, some of these businesses are kind of doing awesome because they're able to really lean in on what they're best at. My favorite Indian restaurant is, I think, doing more takeout than ever before. So I am hopeful that someone's going to come out on top. And if it's not the chains, then I will be very happy.
It's interesting to hear the two of you talk about this note of optimism. I have to admit that both in preparing for our conversation today and in the first half of the conversation talking with you, I was feeling so sad. I mean, these are your talents. This is your legacy. This is what you share with the world. And we're using this term pivot, but it is massive change in how you chose to be in the world and what you chose to produce in the world. So it's encouraging to hear that optimism. And I wonder if you feel like you personally are pivoting or growing or changing as a result of this as well. Heather.
I have been able to adjust my work-life balance a little bit. It might be forced somewhat because of the baby, but I think all of my business partners, as well as me and my husband, we've been able to take days off when we're supposed to, for the most part, and work slightly fewer hours than in the past. We've been able to celebrate, you know, distanced backyard birthdays and, you know, be able to be a part of our families a little bit more than we have been in the past 10 years.
And Irene, how about you? Especially, you know, the Mei Mei Restaurant Group, that came out of your family. I mean, this has been part of family for you.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's a big adjustment and it's a lot to take in. Part of our story, or my story at least, has always been like, I never thought that I would be owning a restaurant. I thought that I would be doing some other kind of work. And so in a sense, you know, in a few months, maybe I'll wake up and say like, oh, you know, it was kind of all a dream. And now we're pivoting and we're doing something else. But all that being said, I think that this time has taught me how important it is to balance, kind of as you're saying, hope and realism, and how to have patience and let go of things that we can't control, because so much of restaurants is about attention to detail, dialing things in, and, you know, being able to work hard for an outcome that you want. And now we're in a situation where for a lot of people, that's just not possible.
Well, I tell you, I wish nothing but the best for the both of you. That's Irene Lee, the co-owner and head chef of the Mei Mei Restaurant Group in Boston. Irene, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Heather Mosier, the co-owner of State Park, Mamala's Deli, and Café Dupay, all in Cambridge. Heather, thanks to you as well.
Glad I could do it.